Well, good morning. All right, guy, you got to do something for me, okay? You're like spread all over, like sprinkled. Can the side wings, can you like move to the middle and up like halfway? Please. Because what happens is like I see like one person here and three people over here. And it's like really, I want to include everybody, all right? So if you could do that for me. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Just that way then I can kind of see you here in the middle and it's all good. I won't make you guys sitting at the back in the center move up. You're okay. I'll leave you alone.
You better watch out. Now I'm going to make some noise.
Come on, we're riding here. Amen. You know, one thing I've learned, especially going through COVID, it doesn't matter to me whether there's one or hundreds. It doesn't make any difference. We just minister God's word and let God have his way. Amen. And also, even more so now that we record it, we do it live at the second service, it still goes out to the world, goes out anyways, and continues to do so even after we're all finished here. But I believe there's nothing like being here in person. I believe that the local church has a purpose. You know, you can watch some things online that can be encouraging, building up, edifying, teaching, all kinds of good things. But can that person say, how can I pray for you? And actually talk to you and lay hands on you and believe God for a miracle in your life that actually cares for you as a person. And not that those people don't care, many of them do, but how can they care for you? You know, if they're dealing with thousands, you know, you're just another person. But here you are a unique individual that God loves and we care for. Amen? So we've been talking about, we started a series last week called, you know, Encountering God. The idea is that we as believers are to encounter Jesus. Now, obviously, we could say, well, yeah, okay, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I had an encounter. Well, that's the beginning of the journey. Come on, think about this. It's like, man, if when I got married, some 40 years ago, had one encounter with my wife and none since, that wouldn't be so good. You get what I'm saying? All right? It's an ongoing thing. That's supposed to be that way. And so it's the same with Jesus. We have that first meeting where we invite him in personally as Lord and Savior, and then we begin to have more encounters with him, hopefully on a regular basis. And so here's a scripture just to set the basis for that, the theme of that. Psalms 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. Very interesting scripture, but it basically says, look, I'm right there. I'm right beside you. I'm right with you. In fact, the Holy Spirit, what lives in you? And it says he's near to all who do what? Call upon him. When was the last time you called upon Jesus? In truth. Interesting how that's worded. That word in truth means in sincerity. In other words, you didn't call upon him because you had a plan and you want him to do what you want him to do. But rather in sincerity of heart where you just were open and say, Jesus, I got a problem. I need your help. I just need a touch from you. I don't care how you do it or what you say. I need you. That's sincerity. That's in truth. And that's what God expects us to do as believers, to call upon him in a way that we're not putting conditions on Jesus. All right, last time I looked, he's God and we're not. So who are we as the clay to put conditions upon the potter in how he's going to shape us and make us? We have no right. And so we need to go to him with openness of heart. And here's the thing. He doesn't need us, but we need him. I want you to think about it. He doesn't. And so we need to come with humility of heart. And it's not that we're not important to him. You know, when I make that statement, I'm not saying we're unimportant. But he doesn't need us to be complete. But we need him to be complete. Amen? And so with that in mind, that's why I started this series of, you know, encountering Jesus. Because we need to be doing this on a regular basis. And so we're looking, in a sense, through this series, all the different ways that we can do that. So the subtitle today, I'm always, you know me, I'm always dabbling in the controversial. I'm always dabbling in those things that a lot of preachers won't touch. But here's the thing, it's in the Word. We got to talk about it. And here's the question, are tongues still for today? That's what we're going to talk about, all right? And I hear some people saying, yeah, absolutely. But I can tell you that maybe some of you here right away, you're cringing. You're like, no, that's a done deal. Well, listen to me. We're going to look at God's Word. We're going to talk about it. I'm not here to convince you or force you to believe or not believe something. I'm here to present God's Word to you, and you can come to your own conclusions. Now, just so you know, I'm going to give you just a little background of where I'm coming from. First of all, I wasn't brought up in a tongue-speaking church. I was brought up in a denomination that didn't even read scriptures about that at all. They talked about God's love and, you know, just kind of the fuzzy parts. You know what I'm saying? The parts that weren't controversial at all. So I don't come from a background of this was indoctrinated into me a certain way, you know, to believe or not believe in this. I come from a totally neutral kind of way. And so for me, it's really interesting as I began in my early walk to look into this myself and to seek God for myself, not just because somebody told me about it for or against it, but because of what God says. And so my hope is that that's what you hear today, is just what God's word says. So begin with, Jesus talks about tongues. And you might say, what? He does. In the Great Commission, in the Gospel of Mark, he literally talks about it. So here's what he says in Mark 16, all right? This is to all, you know, he's telling all the disciples, this is what's going to happen, all right? And many of you are familiar with this. Mark 16, beginning verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And there's other things that happen as well, but I just wanted you to see that. And that word tongues there is to be able to speak in a language that's unknown to you. In other words, you didn't go to school for it. You didn't learn it. You didn't do, what was it, babble on an app or, you know, try to learn the language. You didn't know it. And yet you can speak it perfectly so that other people can understand it, all right? And so here's Jesus himself saying it. Now, are we still supposed to preach the gospel? Yep.
Yeah.
Are we still supposed to pray for people?
Yeah.
Are we still supposed to baptize people?
Yeah.
Well then, why aren't we still supposed to speak in tongues? Just a thought. Just a thought. It's part of the same list. So just a thought. Now let's go on to the book of Acts. So here is, in fact, before Acts. Let me just address the elephant in the room. All right. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. You know, there are some Christians who actually preach actively against tongues. Whole groups. And so how do we deal with that? How is it that they have come to that conclusion? Let me tell you something. There are two reasons. The first one is this. I'm going to tell you this one, and this is a pride thing. They have not experienced it for themselves, and therefore, they have said, therefore, since I haven't experienced it, it can't be God. Doesn't that sound prideful and arrogant? Just because you haven't experienced something. You know, there are times where I haven't been healed of something. Well, therefore, okay, because I haven't been healed, therefore, God doesn't heal today. Wow. Again, who am I making myself out to be when Jesus says, pray for the sick? And they'll be healed. So my point is, if we base our opinion on our experience, we're going to get ourselves into trouble pretty quickly. But we need to base our understanding on God's word and pray that our experience will begin to line up with it. That's how we need to go. Not experience first, not emotions first, but God's word first as our base. Amen? And so, there's another reason. There is one scripture, only one in the Bible, that could be used as a way to say that tongues are no longer. So let's look at it. I'm not afraid to look at these things. Let's look at it and see what it has to say, all right? So it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and beginning at verse 8. Apostle Paul is speaking, and you know, this is the love chapter, all right? And so he starts out, verse 8, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. So you look at this scripture and you're like, okay, prophecy will cease eventually. You know, other gifts will cease. Tongues will cease. It says that, right? Eventually, you know, will not be needed anymore. And why? Because perfection is coming. That's what it says there. When perfection comes. Well, so here's what some groups of people would say. Well, the perfection that's talked about is the completion of the scriptures. In other words, now we have a complete Bible. We no longer need those gifts anymore because we have God's word complete to show us what we need to know. Well, okay. Last time I looked, when I went to buy a car, I couldn't find any information about what car I should buy in my Bible. Last time I looked when I was going to marry my wife some 40 years ago, I didn't see anything specific that Sandra was to be my wife. You see where I'm going with this? You know, the Bible, I love the acronym, it's basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Basic instructions before leaving earth. In other words, it gives us all we need as a foundation for life and for godliness. It's a base, right, of God's truth and His character and His nature. But He also gave us His Holy Spirit to us, amen? And what's the Holy Spirit's job? It's to help us, to guide us, to direct us. And it's out of the Spirit that the gift of tongues is a part of. In fact, literally, it's connected. It's not your brain. When you speak in tongues, it's not your brain, your soul that's speaking. It's your spirit that's speaking. And so we need to understand that this is all about a personal relationship. And that's the sad part. Often the individuals and groups of people who say tongues have ceased also say prophecy has ceased, healing has ceased. In fact, anything personal, anything that would show that God is alive today is no longer. And literally, all they have is this word. We believe the word, brother. Well, hold it. The word speaks of tongues. The word speaks that God is still alive today. The word speaks that God is still moving today in our midst. In other words, tongues is a part to be a part of our experience. And so this scripture, here's what they say. They say this. Now, let's jump down to verse 12. I love this. It says this, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. So again, there's two ways to interpret these two scriptures that I've just read. That perfection has come already, and so we don't need any of the gifts, including tongues, all right? Or perfection is yet to come. Now, last time I looked, the world is in pretty much chaos. Anybody listen to the news lately?
Right.
Has perfection come?
No.
Let's just be honest. Has perfection come? Have we got it all figured out yet as believers? No. So what is the Apostle Paul talking about? Let me tell you about it. He's talking about when the end comes and Jesus returns. And we see Him face to face. We're not going to need to prophesy anymore. We're not going to need to speak in tongues anymore. Because He's literally standing in front of us. We have a one-on-one conversation. But until that comes, until Jesus comes in perfection, until we see Him face to face, guess what? Perfection has not yet arrived. And so we need all the gifts, all the ways that we can connect to God, and one of them being tongues. Anybody kind of get where I'm going with this? I'm just telling you the word. Here it is. And again, if this isn't part of your experience, I'm not here to say, okay, we have the haves and the have-nots. I hate that. I've been in churches like that. We're literally in church. If you weren't a tongue wagger, a speaking in tongues person, you can't even move up in leadership. That's horrible. That's a horrible thing to do. That's just not right. I don't believe in the haves and have-nots. I believe we all have as believers, but you just haven't experienced it yet. That's how I look at everybody, amen? So I don't see anyone as less than or more than. Let's look at the other side. I know lots of tongue speakers over the years. And you know, often people say, well, look, if you speak in tongues, you're more spiritual than those who don't. I wish that was true. Honestly. Just because you speak in tongues does not make you more spiritual. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. It does things, it does good things, but it doesn't show a sign of maturity. It just shows that you speak in tongues and it's a part of your life. Amen? So I just want everyone to know here that whether you speak in tongues or not, don't be ashamed of it. You get what I'm saying? In other words, I just love at times to hear where you're at so I can pray for you and help you in your spiritual journey. But please see yourself as complete in Christ. Amen? Whether you speak in tongues or not. But there's a reason for it. I believe it's a part of what God has for every believer. Amen? Okay, so with that in mind, I think you've got the idea now that I believe that tongues are still for today. But let's at least look at this for a minute. There are three types of tongues shown in the Bible. So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, the Apostle Paul a number of times said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of different things. So maybe some of you are like, three different ones? What are they? Can we just briefly, I want to look at three, but I want to focus on the one, all right? But let's just look at the first one here. And so here is the first one. And it is the ability to speak in a language you've never learned to share the gospel. So we've got in Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church, Jesus says, stay in Jerusalem till you're endued with power, right? So Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So literally the first thing to happen when they were gathered together, Spirit's poured out, and they speak in tongues. And again, some would say, well, that was a one-time event. You know, it wasn't going to happen anymore. But when you go on and read, it says they poured out onto the street, right? So literally, they couldn't stay in the upper room anymore. They were just, you know, just poof, you know, exploded. And they began to speak in tongues to all the people who were just on the street. You know, people that were there for the Passover time. And they came from all different nations and nationalities, all different languages. And the people were amazed. They say, we hear them speaking in our own language of the glories of God. Wow, so cool, right? I remember reading that as a new believer. I'm like, yeah, wow. You know, it's pretty cool. You know, and then I heard a teaching somewhere along the way. Well, that doesn't happen anymore because people are taught languages. And so you don't need that anymore. And then I was part of Elam Fellowship, and I still am. And I heard a few missionary stories of where they had gone to Russia back in the 40s and 50s. And that missionaries didn't know the Russian language. And they would go in to churches and just be there. And the Lord prompted them just to speak in their tongues. And people heard the gospel and got saved. And I'm like, well, okay, is that urban legend? Is it, you know, how many? Aren't we all becoming a little jaded because of the internet? You know what I'm saying? You look at something, you know, and you're like, is that real? Is that not real? And so after a while, you begin to wonder, right? And I was like, I don't know. So here's the deal. A number of years ago, I'm going to tell you a story that I saw with my own eyes. My own eyes, all right? So Tom Massey, who was one of our elders here, he's moved to Arizona to be closer to his family. And so Pastor Tom, he'd been part of our group here for 20, 25 years at least, a long time. And so good guy, faithful in the Word, loved Jesus. And so we went up to Bard College. Pastor Tony had a group up there that would meet. And we share the gospel, you know, with the students and that. And so we got invited. Pastor Tom and myself, Pastor Vic, got invited to just go up. And I was the allocated preacher. I was the guy to share. So we go there, and for some reason, the announcement didn't go out, whatever. Not one person came. And so we're in a church. Literally, it's empty. So you got Anthony and Tom and Pastor Vic and me. So we're all kind of looking around. Nobody shows up. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to preach anyways. So I preached like the place was full. I just, you know, gave the word out, you know, and did it, you know, and just spoke a blessing over the place. So we after, you know, half hour, we're done. And so we go outside, and there's, you know, a few students around. And so these two young ladies come over, who were students, I guess, and come over, and they start talking to Pastor Tom, but in a foreign language. And so Tom's kind of looking at him, shrugging, right? And they're kind of getting frustrated because he doesn't understand what they're saying. So Tom all of a sudden just starts speaking to him. And to me, it sounds like gibberish. He starts talking to him. And so he'll go for a little bit, and then he stops. And then they start talking back. And then they stop, and then he talks, and they talk. Now, while that's happening, another student, a guy, comes along. And he comes near me, and he's listening to the conversation like he knows what's going on. I haven't got a clue. And I say to the guy, I said, do you know what they're saying? He says, oh, yeah. You know, they're speaking, you know, perfect Spanish. And, you know, they're asking him questions about God. And he's telling them all about how to be saved by a guy named Jesus. Pastor Tom, after this is all over, I go up to Tom. I said, Tom, so you know Spanish? He goes, I don't know any Spanish. I don't know. I just started speaking in tongues. I thought, I got nothing to lose. I'm just going to speak in tongues. You know, because that's what all he had. And I saw with my own eyes this very scripture come to life. So there's nobody that can tell me this doesn't happen anymore. Okay, there it is. I am a firsthand witness. I would stand up in court and give an accounting of what I saw. And so this is a decision that you have to make. Are we going to believe God's word and its truth, or make excuses because we just haven't experienced it? Now, I've never experienced it, but I saw it with my own eyes. Amen? So that's one reason to speak in tongues, to be able to talk to somebody in a language that you don't know. All right? Having said that, don't be a lazy missionary. If God has called you to go someplace, I suggest you learn the language. Amen. Okay. So let's move on. The next one is tongues and interpretation, which is actually a form of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just a chapter after what we've just been reading, in verse 5, it says this. Paul says, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so the church may be edified. So we need to understand the context of this scripture. Paul is talking about tongues in the church. And he's saying, look, in the church, because most people won't understand what you're saying, it's not of much value. But he says, but if there's interpretation connected to that, that now becomes prophecy. Now, again, I've seen this in this very church. I have seen tongues and interpretation over the years, all right, where someone stands up and they believe God said to them, speak in tongues, and they'll speak for maybe a moment. Person sits down. Another person stands up and says, thus says the Lord. This is what I believe God's saying. And in English, be able to interpret what those tongues were. So again, I have seen this in action, okay? So this is, again, not something out of a book that I'm talking to you about. This happens still in the church today. Yeah, and it saddens me that whole swaths of people, whole groups of Christians will deny it. They'll even go as far as to say that tongues is of the devil. Oh my gosh. Come on. Come on. Just as a way, again, to excuse away. Now, are there false tongues? Maybe. But are we scared of all that God has for us because there may be some false things in this world? There are lots of false religions, but we still accept Jesus, don't we? Amen? So it's just important, okay? So, and why are tongues interpretations? So what? The church may be edified, just as we read there. Okay. Now, I only talked about those two to let you know I'm aware of them, all right? What I want to do and focus on today for a little bit is tongues as part of your personal prayer life. That's really what I want to focus on. That's really what this is all about. I've talked about that to bring us to this, okay? And so, with that in mind, tongues as a part of your personal worship and prayer. Let's look at the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. So here's the Apostle Paul saying what? Look at this should be part of your connection to God. Now, right away, you might be saying, well, hold it. If my mind doesn't know what's being said, what's the point? Anybody ever thought of that? What's the point? Well, think about this. You've got a situation, whatever it might be, and you've prayed your little heart out in English. You've come at it from every angle, you know, and finally you're like out of words. And you're like, but God, I still want you to do what's best. I still want you to have your part. So when we begin to pray in tongues, that's pure prayer. That is whole spirit. It's spirit to spirit. So what happens is when you pray in the Spirit, what happens is it bypasses your brain, all those bends that you have, that you want certain things to happen, and it might not be God's will for that to happen. And here's the thing, God only answers prayer that's according to His Word and His will. And so when we pray in the Spirit, it allows that connection to happen, Spirit to Spirit. It's the most amazing thing to happen. And for those of us that have experienced it, it's an amazing thing. You know, there are times where you just don't know how to pray. And you pray in the Spirit. You know, elsewhere in the Scripture talks about with moanings and groanings that you can't understand, right? But it's understood to God. It talks about the angelic language. It's a language for some. There, it might not even be an earthly language. It could just be a heavenly language. But regardless of it, God understands what's being prayed. And so, the next Scripture to be connected with this, and this is the cool one. Because I've given you three different aspects, right? You know, to speak in a language that you don't know, but someone else understands. You know, tongues and interpretation, like in the church. But here's the thing. I'm telling you the three different ways because to help our cognitive minds kind of understand. But these get all intertwined together. So that's where this next scripture goes. So look at this. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? So here's what he says. I will pray with my spirit, but I also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I also sing with my understanding. So what is the Apostle Paul talking about? He's saying, look, in your personal prayer time, do tongues and interpretation. He's literally saying, pray in the spirit for a little bit, then stop and pray in English and see if God's saying something through that. And then he even goes as far as say, sing in the spirit. That's awesome. Anyone here ever sung in the spirit? Yeah, it's an amazing experience to have. And if you've never done that, try it. And God doesn't care if you're on note. He doesn't care if you can't hold a note in a bag. You get what I'm saying? He doesn't care about that. But literally just in the spirit, whether you're singing, you know, to a tune that maybe is an old tune in your mind that just comes up, sing in the spirit as the Lord directs you, and then begin to speak in English, sing in English. You'd be amazed at times where God will give you tongues and interpretation of that. So then all of a sudden, it's not just spirit to spirit, but now your soul, your mind is beginning to receive some information as well. This is awesome. And here's the thing. I don't think less of people who don't operate in this. What I feel is sad because God's got it for every person. You know, the gifts of the Spirit, when it talks about tongues as a gift, that's a unique thing. Not everybody has that. But your personal prayer language is a package deal with His Holy Spirit. All right? That's different. And so I've heard people say, well, I guess that's not my gift. Excuse me? You got the Holy Spirit, don't you? Well, it's out of the Holy Spirit that tongues come from. It's not a specific gift. It's His presence. It's how God wants, one way that God wants to speak to us. Amen? Okay. So, let's do a quick little summary here. Why are tongues still for today? I want to give you just three quick points here. Until we see Jesus face to face, it's a way to connect to the Lord. When I get to the end of the line, when I don't know how to pray for somebody or a situation, you know what I do? In fact, I'll tell you right now, if you come up here and I pray for you at some point and you hear me start praying in tongues, it means, Jesus, I haven't got a clue. I have no idea what you want to do for this person. So it's not, I'm not praying tongues over you, I'm praying tongues over myself to say, Jesus, I have no idea. And what I'm looking for is an interpretation. I'm looking for wisdom and for guidance to be able to help in that, all right? And what about when you're at the end of the line, you're in that storm, that smoke, that smog, the snow, whatever, and you can't see God, you can't hear Him, but when you can pray in the Spirit, it reminds you that He's still there. Just that in itself. You might not hear anything as far as Him telling you anything, but you just know, oh, Jesus, thank you. You're still with me. Even though this is happening, that's happening, or this isn't happening. It just brings you comfort. All right, the next one is this. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. I already kind of crossed over that already, right? And that's what I mean. I bring these points up, but they crisscross with one another. There are times that we just don't know what to do, and we pray in the Spirit. And then God will show us what to do, right? Okay. Through tongues and interpretation, we can get wisdom and guidance from the Lord. So all of a sudden now, you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the understanding, and literally get direction from God. You know, that person that you're to marry, or that car you're to buy. And again, you know, I don't encourage you to pray about which socks to put on, or whether you should have orange juice or apple juice. Let's not get, you know, a little bit carried away here. But here's the thing. God has entrusted finances to you. You know, cars now, that's not nickels and dimes anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of God's money. Now, do you want to take God's money that He's entrusted with you and buy a lemon? I hope not. No, you want something that's going to be reliable. You want something that's going to be good for you. So you should be praying about it. I encourage you, with every car I've ever bought, I laid hands on the car before I bought it. I said, Lord, is this Your will? Do I have peace about this? And I walked away from cars. Walked away. Different circumstances in my life, unless I had God's peace on it, I walked away. If I prayed in the Spirit and I didn't have peace, again, it's not even so much God said anything. You just have peace or you don't have peace. And I'll tell you something, every time I went with not listening to God's peace, I got burned every time. And it wasn't God's fault. That's all on me. So the Spirit of God is there to help us. And one of the ways is through tongues. Amen. Okay, so we got... Are they still for today? The answer is yes. I hope everyone's kind of come to that conclusion. So I want to finish with, we've talked about the whys. Okay, how? How do we get this? You know, if it's so automatic, how come every moment, every time a person accepts Jesus, that they automatically speak in tongues? And by the way, I've seen that. I've seen that. A person accepts Jesus right away, they just start speaking in tongues. I've seen it where they've gone through the baptismal waters, maybe a week or a month or a year later, and they come up speaking in tongues. It's like unbelievable, right? So God does, He can do it at all different times. But here's, I believe, three qualifications that we need to have to receive, all right? And it's very simple. We need to be believing, asking, and receiving for our heavenly prayer language. So let's just talk about this for a minute. When I say believing, two levels, right? We obviously need to be a believer in Jesus, all right? That one level. But actually believing that tongues are still for today. If you don't believe it, you won't receive it. That's just the reality of it. Everything we see in God's Word is received by faith, by trusting that it's from the Lord. So you have to come to a place of acknowledging, though it's not maybe been your experience, to say, hey, this is what God's Word says. In fact, my story is just like that. I, again, brought up with none of this. I get saved. I begin to read God's Word. I read where Jesus says tongues. You know, that's going to be evidence of a believer. I read in Acts. I read in Corinthians. And I'm like, well, hold it. If this is in there and it says it's important, I want this. And so I remember telling my wife, and she says, nope, that scares me. I don't want nothing to do with that. That sounds like crazy talk. So about a year later, we went to this, happened to be at a conference, and so there was a call for people to come up for prayer, and I'm like, I don't need prayer. So I go out, and I'm just in the lobby, you know, waiting, and my wife went up for prayer. Now, the call was not for speaking in tongues. It wasn't. It was just a call for prayer. So she went up. And so 10, 15 minutes later, she comes out in the lobby and she's babbling away in tongues. You know, and yeah, God just did this. I was so mad. She wasn't even seeking it and got it before me. God has a sense of humor. Let me tell you that. I was so mad. And so, a couple months go by, still nothing. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And we're going back some 40 years. We were baling hay on the farm. And I was back on the wagon, loading the hay, and I was just singing worship songs, just bits and pieces, because I never could remember them all. Is anybody else here like that? You can kind of remember bits and pieces, but you can't always put the whole thing together. So I'm just singing along, and all of a sudden this word came out that was not English. I'm like, what was that? Stop me for a minute even. I kept working, but, you know, stop me in my thoughts. And I started, you know, singing again, and more words. And it was just like a faucet opened, and all of a sudden, there it was. And it was there. My point is, God can do this all different ways, but if you're not believing and asking, you know, that's the next step, right? Say, Lord, I want this. You'll never get it. And you'll be just one less tool that God has for you to have an encounter with Him. One less way that you can connect with God. And then the next thing is receiving. See, whether you speak in tongues or not, to actually have an attitude that, Lord, I thank You, the Holy Spirit lives in me. And that I'm going to come one day to a place of yielding to You so that the Spirit can come out in the form of tongues. Now, if you stand or sit at your chair and you're like, and you close your mouth, okay, God, if I'm going to speak in tongues, You're going to make my lips move. Never going to happen. Think about this. I'm talking to You. My mind has made a decision to say certain words. My vocal cords do their thing. My mouth opens, and here I am speaking to You. Well, in the same way, you have to yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And one of the easiest ways is to have your mouth going, whether that be just singing English songs or praying just in English, and what will happen is it will just come out. I'm that guy. I am not of the group who lays hands on people yelling and screaming in tongues, you know, for you to get it. I don't do that game. I just don't. And it may work in some places, and maybe some people get that, but I've heard so many stories of people who were being prayed for like that, and they just made up gibberish just so that they could get out of there. That's horrible. I've heard testimonies about that. Thank God later on, they received it on their own. So you can't force anyone to receive tongues. You can't force anyone to speak in tongues. This is something that you let go. It comes out of you. And so, whether you're a tongue speaker here or not, my word of encouragement to you is speak more in tongues. In other words, use what God has given you. Don't let it be a one-off experience. I hear so many Christians that say, oh yeah, I spoke in tongues once, thinking, well, it was kind of like a badge, right? It's kind of like, you know, guides or Boy Scouts. You do it once and you don't do it again. You got your badge. That's not what tongues is for. It's for you to continually connect with God and experience His presence. And if you're here and you've never experienced it, let me tell you something. God wants you to experience it. And it's up to you to make that decision to ask Him and talk to Him. Now, your homework, you want homework today? You've got, yeah, it's a snowy day, you're going to be at home. Here's your homework. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from the beginning of it all the way to the end of 14. Now, what's interesting about that is that it begins by talking about love, then it talks about tongues, and then it ends with love. And it says that these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So in other words, my hope is that even as we've talked about this today, that though there's such controversy with so many different groups of people, that you see the heart of God's love in this. It's not about haves and have-nots. It's so that you can experience more of God's love through your heavenly prayer language. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, so many churches stay away from this topic completely. So many churches won't even talk about it because in their mind it just caused controversy. But your word, I believe, when it's shared properly, does not do that. I believe that your truth unites. I believe that your truth brings us together. So right now, Lord, I pray for the tongue speakers that are here. And Lord, I pray that they have absolute love towards anyone around them that doesn't speak in tongues. Treat them as equals. Treat them as one of the children of the kingdom. And Lord, I pray for those that don't speak in tongues, and maybe they were taught not to. Maybe they just don't know about it. Maybe they just don't understand it. And so, therefore, they just want to stay away. I get it. I can relate. I understand. But Lord, I pray that through our time today and just talking about it, it will spur some interest, that it will cause them to look to your word and to call out to you. And that, Lord, even as they're praying, that you would just open up their mouths to be able to pray in the Spirit. That it would just add to their tools, that it would add to their relationship with you. Lord God, I know that for me it was a life-changing moment. In fact, after salvation itself, it was probably the second most important thing that happened in my life. Through tongues, I've been sustained through a lot. And I'm grateful for that. So Lord, my only prayer is that others would experience that same joy and peace and comfort as well. So Lord, right now, I just speak a blessing over every person. I'm not here to have them show hands, to embarrass anyone. That's not what this is about. But Lord God, to encourage them in their personal walk. So Lord, bless them as they continue to seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if anyone here would ever like to have a longer conversation, love to talk to you about it if I can help you in any way. God bless you.